sing it this way. He's worthy. 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 The Lord. He alone is worthy. Worthy. Books to 521. We serve a holy God. Amen. And He alone is worthy, isn't He? Yes. And we came to worship Him today. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no Brother Nathan comes. Oh, I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below.
Amen. Is that your desire this morning? Amen. God bless you richly. Wanted to make a few announcements. We'll be having a men's meeting here, Lord willing, on February the 16th at 7:30. And if you can make it to that, it would just be a time of kind of a Bible study and fellowship. And Brother Wes Willis is going to be preaching for us March 26th, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And then also, he's going to stay with us about a week, and we're going to have a youth service here, Lord willing, the following Friday on March 31st at 7:30. And anybody's welcome to come, adults or youth or whatever, but it's going to be focused to the youth. And then I wanted to just give you an update on Sister Rochelle Erickson. She's doing a lot better, and I'm breathing on her own, and she's responsive to words and things now. But they said that she did suffer a stroke through all of this, and they're concerned that it may take her some time to regain her different abilities and things like that as far as motor skills. But we know that God's able to move on the scene in that situation too. And he's brought her this far, and we believe he can continue to bring her the rest of the way. Brother Furman's uncle, John, had passed away, and they're traveling for the funeral today, and want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies and for the funeral, just that God would comfort them at this time. And also, Sister Jessica Condor's Aunt Betty passed on Wednesday night, and that funeral was this last Saturday, so I want to remember that family in prayer. But Brother Jeremy was sharing with me that that's the sister we had prayed for, and the doctors had only given her a few hours to live a few weeks ago, and then the Lord just really turned things around with that situation, and she was better. And they said before that, she was very scared of dying, but in the time that the Lord had brought her back around, she'd given her heart to the Lord, and the doctors had declared that it was a miracle the way that she had survived when they didn't think that she could. And she gave her heart to the Lord, and she told him, she said, "I'm not scared of dying anymore." And so God has the perfect timing, doesn't he? And he knows all things and does all things well. My brother Anthony requested that we remember Sister Tina in prayer. She's not feeling well this morning. Also want to continue to remember Sister Estera, who's still recovering from kidney stone surgery. And Caleb Andes, he's sick with the virus this morning. Want to remember him in prayer. And Brother Buckles, he'll be flying home, Lord willing, February the 11th. So I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. Sister Bickley is sick with the flu. We want to remember her in prayer. And my uncle, Brother Morris, he's having an MRI for his back done tomorrow and requested prayer that everything will be okay with that. And then Brother Yarborough, they tried to do a stent on him on Friday, but they were unable to because of some previous bypasses that they had done. So they've prescribed some medication and some certain foods and things to try to help with that. So we just want to continue to remember him in prayer that the Lord will come on the scene and open those blockages up for him. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Let's just stand this morning. Brother Luke, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this morning?
Good morning, saints. Hope you cross that red line this morning. I like that. Let's just bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just enter again, Lord, to worship you this morning, Father. We just pray that you come down, Lord, and meet each one, Lord, the hands that were raised, Father, in each row. Lord, the request that was made, Father, is there were so many, Lord, and Sister Rochelle and the ones that passed, Father, Lord. And we just pray that you remember each one. Forgive me for not, Lord. We know that you can exceed that, Father, Lord. We know, Lord, that you don't do anything halfway, Father, Lord. When you do it right, Lord. Lord, we just love the testimonies that have come forth, Lord, and we'll be waiting for another testimony, Lord, because we know that you'll answer each one, Lord, as there's a little portion of your bride here this morning, Lord, that's believing together, Father, Lord. And we just come to you and ask you, Father, humbly, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, Father, that you touch each one, Lord. Lord, and you just come to this service, Father, Lord, and we just pray, Father, that we can just worship you this morning, Lord. Forget all the things out here in the world, Lord. Get our minds clear, Father, and our hearts open, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, just become more like you this morning, Lord. Draw us closer to you, Lord. Fill us with more of your love, Lord, as it's what we need, Lord. This world is getting worse, Father, Lord. We just need more of you each and every day, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, Lord. Lord, and just be with Brother Nathan, whatever he has on his heart, Lord, and just help him, Lord. Be with his words, Father, Lord. Lord, we love you and just ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning, church. This morning we're going to read the 29th, that's 2-9, 29th chapter of Psalm, and we will be reading the whole chapter. It's only like 11 verses, I believe. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Give unto the Lord.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon.
He maketh the walls of the city like a calf, Lebanon and Syria like a young woman.
The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory.
The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. God bless you. Please be seated.
Seems like every service I'm able to find a song that you all don't know. Maybe I need to go back and step over the red line. But I know everyone knows this, page 369. If you don't know this, I don't know where you've been. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, my way to a home on God's celestial shore. Isaac Weber here? Okay. Well, that's one special down. All right, Brother Lauren.
Oh. I would stray in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and they found a Savior to save the poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on broken on Calvary.
Brother Layton and Sister Layton would prepare in the group that they're singing with.
You walk.
Aren't you glad to know that this morning?
Amen.
No matter what the devil tells you, what he tries to convince you of, God's still on the throne.
Amen.
Let's stand this morning. Turn to page 392.
Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison.
That this morning, amen. That he brought you out. Amen. I don't know. He might have brought you out of the world. He might have brought you out of the denomination. Might have just brought you out of a lot of man-made stuff that was even around the message. But I'm glad he brought you out this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad he brought me out. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32, if you turn with me this morning. And I don't normally ask Brother Layton what psalm to read, but I did ask him to read that one this morning because I felt it went so well along with the rest of the service this morning. So, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 32. This is Moses speaking into the people. He says, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it." Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire, as thou hast heard and live? Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on this thought of the voice of God. And don't get scared. I'm not going to talk about a building or anything like that or a company. I'm talking about the literal voice of God. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just ask you that you would be in our midst this morning. Lord, we just need your help this morning. Lord, we need to hear from you. And Lord, no matter how much I would get up and try and my efforts, Lord, without you it would be in vain. But Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we want to find a balance in some of these things, Lord. And as you've laid this on my heart all week, Lord, knowing that maybe someone understand, but Lord, just it's what you placed on my heart, so I can't go any other direction. But Lord, I just ask that you'd be with me, help me. Lord, as we look into your word and into your scripture, into the quotes, I just ask that you would give me wisdom and strength, Lord. Lord, to try to show a balance in some of these things. Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Brother Branham makes this statement in my commission in 1951. I'm going to read a lot of quotes this morning. I hope that's okay. My commission in 1951, he says, "Now I'm just your brother by the grace of God. But when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes then a voice of God to you." He said, maybe if I offended you by saying that, forgive me, but I felt that it might have been resented but I am God's voice to you.
Amen.
See, I say that again. That time was under inspiration, see, and I felt bad about the first time, but it repeated it.
Amen.
Amen. How many believe that he was God's voice to us?
Amen.
Amen. I believe he was God's voice to us in this age. He says again, and at thy word, I'll let down the net. 1954, he said, that wasn't me. He's in a prayer line. He's saying something to a person in the prayer line discerning a sickness about them. He said, that wasn't me. That was him. He said, now it's me. Now, he has a right to do that. I don't have a right to do that. No other minister. I don't care how big their church or how big their check account or how big their pants or their shoe size or how popular or what they are or whatever. No other man on the face of the earth, as far as I'm concerned, has a right to do that, to say when it was him and when it wasn't him. But he had a right to do that. And he said, that wasn't me. That was him. Now it's me. You hear that voice just then? He said, that wasn't me. That was him. Whatever he said is the truth, isn't it? It's the truth. He says again, Abraham's covenant confirmed 1961. He says, someday you'll catch it. Someday you'll know that I've told you the truth. My voice may be silent. You might be able to silence that body that's speaking, but you'll never silence that voice. It comes from God. They stoned Stephen, but they couldn't stop his message. It'll move on. He says, them tapes will be played after I'm gone for years. And we see it manifested. Amen. We believe it. So I believe that we were establishing this morning that when we turn on a tape and we begin to hear that voice, that's not just the voice of a Kentuckian with a seventh grade education speaking to us. But as I said when I was a very young man, if you want to hear the voice of God in this age, all you have to do is just turn on a tape and you'll hear something from God. Now, many times, we're looking for some great, fantastic something. And I've never heard an audible voice speaking to me. God spoke to my heart many times. And he's placed things on my heart that I believe was absolutely him because it was according to the scripture. But I'm not looking for some great, fantastic. And I don't believe I have to hear an audible voice come out of the heavens. But we have heard an audible voice in this age. And he says in adoption 1960, he said, if I never see them in this life, he's praying. He said, when I cross over into that land, may they run and grab me and I grab them. And we holler, precious brother, to one another. Say, I heard your tape on Ephesus, how that God predestinated us to eternal life. And it was on that tape that I received the voice of God and was sealed away by the Holy Ghost into the kingdom of God. Grant it, Father. You mean somebody could receive the Holy Ghost listening to a tape?
Amen.
That's what he said.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you, try to show you by the help of the Lord. I can't show you anything, but if the Lord will reveal it to you, I want to try to show you a balance on some of these things. And people argue over where the voice of God is today in this age. Is it just the tape voice? Is it the ministry? Is it this? Is it that? Is it the bride? But we want to try to find a balance on this morning. And I've heard ministers get up and say, well, a tape can't lay hands on you, but they've come too late to say that to me because I have been healed listening to a tape. Amen. I know many of you have. A sister came up in a prayer line a while back and said she had migraines since she was 12 years old. And she was listening to a tape one day and Brother Branham called out a lady with migraines. She said, I haven't had them since. So we know that God still moves in that way. We don't deny that. I believe that people are saved by the tapes. I believe that people are by listening to the tapes and getting a revelation. I believe that they're healed listening to the tapes many times. I believe that people have been filled with the Holy Ghost listening to the tapes many times. And I don't want you to raise your hand this morning because I don't want you or me to get in trouble or get into an argument. But I want to pose this question this morning, though. Is the tape voice the only voice of God that there is?
Amen.
We've established that the tapes are the voice of God. We believe that. You amened it. You were excited. Amen. We believe that. I'm not questioning that. I just want to look at this morning and see, is that the only place that the voice of God can come from. Now, no matter how much you would listen to a tape, no matter how much you would read a book, you could sit and you could sit in your study, or I could lock you in a room in the church and we could play you tapes, or you could listen to my sermons, or we could play you some of the good gospel singing that we've heard this morning. And no matter how much that we would try to put that upon you, no matter how much you would listen to it through your auditory senses, that would never become a revelation to you. It would never save you. It would never give you the Holy Ghost. It would never heal you just by listening to it with your ear. Brother Branham says in The Uncertain Sound in 1960, he said, now I want you to notice, when a man hears the voice of God, personally hears the word of God. Now you can hear it. You say, well, God has come to meet me. Yes, sir, I could sit here and preach till I fell dead in the pulpit 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now. You never hear it until God reveals the word to you. So you mean Brother Branham could stand up and he could preach to us for 10, 20, 30, 50 years in the pulpit till he literally killed over and died preaching in the pulpit, and you could sit there and listen to him and you never hear it until God revealed it? You say, oh, I hear it, Brother Nathan. I listen to the tapes and I do this and I do that. No, you're just hearing it here, but he's talking about hearing with your heart. As I heard him say on the voice of God in these last days, the other day as we were traveling down to or up to the funeral in Indianapolis for my neighbor, he said that you don't see with your eyes, you see with your heart. Now, medical science would argue with him, but he's a prophet of God. I believe what he said. He said, to see with your eyes is to look at something, but to see with your heart is to understand something. And he said, you don't hear with your ears, you hear with your heart. You say, oh, but I can hear the tapes with my ears. That's right, but it's not doing you a bit of good until you begin to listen with your heart. He says in the third Exodus in 1963, he said, listen to the Bible. The voice of God calling to you in this day. Yes. You mean the Bible's the voice of God? Amen. That's what he said. 1963, after the seals. I don't care what your argument is. Listen to the Bible, the voice of God calling you in this day. Now, I want to ask you this morning, and don't take me wrong. I'm not making fun of the tapes in any way. I'm just posing this to you in a way that we can try to get this and lock it down really good this morning. Does a bear have to listen to the tapes to hibernate? You don't have to raise your hand or amen or say yes or no. I'm just asking the question. Does a bear have to listen to a tape to hibernate? Brother Branham says, in What Hearest Thou, Elijah, in 1959, he says, the bear hears the voice of God. He don't grow any snowshoes. But what does he do? Just go out and lay down and lay there and sleep it off all winter. Let the rest of them run around if they want to. He just takes a good winter snooze. Why? God makes a way for him. He listens. Nature speaks. Yes. Now that bear, I doubt, has ever picked up a Bible. Yet Brother Branham said that was the voice of God. That bear, I doubt, has ever heard a tape. Yet Brother Branham said that was God's voice to you in this age. But God's voice still speaks to the bear through nature. Brother Branham said when God wrote his first Bible, he wrote it in the heavens, and he began to write it in nature. And Brother Branham could look around and see, and he could look at things in nature as a young man and recognize that there was a God long before he picked up a Bible and studied it very much, because he could see God reflected in his nature. But Brother Branham tells the story of one of his deacons that was out there on a boat, and he said they were in the Ohio River, him and a little Sunday school boy out fishing, and the Sunday school boy began to get very disturbed. He said, I want to know, could we see God in this day, and does God still speak? And he said, I asked my Sunday school teacher, and she sent me to the pastor, and I asked the pastor, and he didn't know. And you know, he said, oh my, you know, no, God doesn't work in that way today. He said, oh my, he said, son, all I've seen for the last 40 years is God. He could see him in the rustling of the leaves. He could see him in the death, birth, and resurrection of the trees. And he could see him in the grass. He could see him in the sky. You can find God if you'll just look for him. He's on the tapes. We believe it. He's in his word. He's in nature. But let's take it a step further this morning. This is as the eagle stirreth up her nest in 1960. A brother speaks in tongues and another interprets, and a prophecy is given from it. Brother Branham says, hallelujah, glory, praise God, friends. That If I understand the scripture, how many believes he understood the scripture? If I understand the scripture, that's the voice of God speaking back in confirmation. He reverenced with that. What did he say? Don't rebel. Go into the room, every sinner. Without the blood of Christ, make your way to the room, friend. If the Bible don't, forgive me if I say if. We know the Bible's right. He said, that's not my voice. That's God speaking. And to you people that sick, you hear what he said. That's a message to the church. See, that's the Holy Spirit. Again, in the message of grace in 1961, he said, we believe there's a gift of the Holy Ghost that speaks in tongues. We have it in our church, he says, but we make them. We don't go along carrying on. We believe it's the voice of God. The real, true gifts. Now, there was a lot of it out here in Pentecost that they just spoke in tongues because the guy beside them was speaking in tongues. That wasn't the voice of God. They just spoke in tongues because somebody was beating them on the back, telling them that you had to receive the Holy Ghost. But we've been taught that that's contrary to the word of God in this day. But yet he said there was a true tongues and interpretation. There was a true version of the nine spiritual gifts. I'm glad we've been privileged to see it begin to move in the church a little bit lately. And I know that disturbs some people, but it's because you've been taught wrong. You've been taught by people that take one tape and one quote instead of looking at all that the message says. Why Christ Speak, 1963, he said, don't let this fail now. The voice of God speaks through the word, speaks through gifts. As one gift comes, another one expresses it. Another gift comes and expresses the same thing. See, that's sure right with the word and right with the hour. God is with us. We thank him for it. Well, praise the Lord. Can I go a little further? Amen. So we've established that God's voice is on the tapes in this day, that it was more than just a man, but that is God's voice to you. We've established that God's voice speaks to us through the Bible, that he speaks through us through nature, and that he speaks through us through the nine spiritual gifts. Now, in the Church Age book, page 156, he says the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now, oh my, this just tears up people because they don't want to see this, that God still uses the ministry of others. And then there's others that promote their ministry, but they don't take the last half of this quote because they haven't been faithfully taught how necessary it is to speak only what he said, not to add their interpretation and their revelation and their legalism and all these other things, but to say what he said. Amen. You say, Brother Nathan, does that mean that you've got to get up and you can only say verbatim every word that Brother Branham said? You can't say any other paragraphs or phrases or sentences? Well, if that's the case, then for Brother Branham to preach what Paul preached, then he would have to literally just get up and read Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. But it wasn't that he was literally just speaking the same words that Paul spoke, but that he wasn't saying anything contrary to what had already been spoken. Amen. And if a minister of God can get up and you can sit there and listen, and you say, you know what? He didn't say anything contrary to what's already been spoken. Then you should be able to accept that as what Brother Branham's talking about here. And if he does get up and say something contrary, then you have a right to disagree with it. You have every right to disagree with it. You don't have to sit and swallow down a bunch of garbage just because some man says he's anointed or called or whatever. But if it's saying what he said, then you better be careful what you say against it. Remember, Samuel got discouraged there because the people, he felt like the people had turned against him and rejected him. And God said, Samuel, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. Right. The Evening Messenger, 1963. A brother sent me this quote last night. I thought, oh, goodness. It went along so perfectly with the sermon. I thought, but I almost hate to read it. But I'm not ashamed to read anything Brother Branham said. Amen. He said, therefore, when God sent his prophets, his messengers of the Testament, he spoke to one man. And that man had to bring the message. You believe in a one-man message this morning? Amen. Amen. One man brought this message. He doesn't need me or anybody else to bring any extra to it and add to it. I don't need to get up and reveal the seals. He already did it. I don't need to get up and explain the thunders to you and teach you the thunders. He already did it. I don't need to come with my new version of serpent seed. We already have what he said about it. And I'll take Elijah's word for it over anybody else's. It was a one-man message. One man brought the message. It was a one-man message in Moses' day. But yet he had a Joshua and a Caleb and 70 elders. It was a one-man message in Jesus' day, but he sent out 12 disciples and 70 others, and you say, oh, but one of them was the devil. That's right, and 11 of them were predestinated seeds of God. I like those averages. You say, oh, I know some preachers that, oh, my, they molested somebody and they robbed the church of money and they went out here and money, women, and popularity got them. That's right. There's been a lot of brothers like that, but there's been a lot more than those that have stayed with the word.
Amen.
Oh, my. Let me finish this quote for you. He spoke to one man and that man had to bring the message. You believe the message has been brought? From 1947 to 65,
yes.
He spoke to one man and that man had to bring the message. Others went from him everywhere bringing the same message.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute, Brother Branham. You said one man God spoke to and that one man had to bring the message. But now you're saying that others went from him everywhere in the very next sentence bringing the same message. Hey, man, there's people still bringing the same message.
Right.
Some of them bring it in tape form and book form into countries overseas where nobody's ever heard of it. And they get into the backsides of the jungles and the backsides of the desert. And those little hands reaching out for a book or a tape and get a revelation from God. There's some that are going into places as Brother Guido that was here and spoke to us at the storefront, going into places like Siberia and having prison ministry in Siberia. If you think you're a missionary, you follow that. Go to Siberia and preach in a prison and you'll find out whether God called you to be a missionary or not real quick. Going into places like that and witnessing and preaching the gospel and taking these things. It's not just in a little corner, but it's around the world that this has gone. He said, but there had to be one headquarters. God has always had it. I'm thankful he's got it tonight. That's the Holy Ghost, of course, we all know. Now, not some group, but the Holy Spirit is God's headquarters. That's God's messenger of the hour. Amen. I'm glad to report to headquarters this morning. Amen. The Holy Ghost is our headquarters. Questions and Answers, Part 4, 1964. He says, now, wait, let me stop there just a minute. Now, that's what I'm trying to tell the people. Brother Neville believes the same message that I believe. Brother Capps, Brother Beeler, Brother Ruddle, all these brothers around here believe the same message that I believe. They preach it same as I do. Now, was he just doing that to make them feel good and he just got up and lied before the people and he just wanted to make Brother Beeler and Brother Capps and Brother Neville, they're really not doing anything, but I just want to make him feel apart. If you believe that this morning, then what kind of a prophet are you following? Hey, man, I don't believe God would allow this. I had a minister brother in Arizona tell me one time, said, Brother Nathan, you know, Brother Branham sat down and told me that when they signed the copyright and franchise and everything, that he said that the board pressured him into signing that he didn't really want to. I thought, here you are. You stood and spent years with this man, slept with him, fished with him, hunted with him, traveled with him. And I've never met the man to shake his hand in person, but I know him better than you do. Because there wasn't anybody that could pressure that man into signing anything or doing anything that God didn't lead him to do.
Amen.
So I don't believe that Brother Neville and Brother Ruddle and Brother Beeler said, you know what, Brother Branham, the people are really giving us a hard way to go. Could you get up and just say something to puff us up a little bit and him get up and not really feel that way and say it? If you believe that he would do that about that, what else would he have done it about? I believe that he stood toe to toe with the word and he preached it and he didn't pull any punches and he said what he meant and he meant what he said.
Amen.
Questions and Answers, 1961. You see what I'm doing, brethren? I'm putting you all the same place I am because you're just as much into it as I am. You're messengers of this same message. Now, I know there's men in India that have used quotes like this to try to make themselves a seventh or an eighth or a ninth or a twelfth or whatever number messenger they think they are. But there's no eighth or ninth or tenth messenger. We didn't need another messenger to bring us the message, but yet we are messengers of the same message taking it to people.
Yes.
Amen. We didn't produce the message or write the message or bring the message, but we're still expressing the message to the people. Yes. That's not just up here on the pulpit, by the way. That's to you when you hand a tape or a book to your neighbor, or when you live that life on your job. We'll look at it a little further. Brother Bram said that's God's voice that'll judge the people. Amen. The key to the door in 1964, he said, it's like this microphone that I'm speaking through. That microphone is a mute unless there's something to speak through it. Right. It cannot speak through itself. It's got to have something to speak through it. So it's not the microphone. It's the voice or the noise. You might feel like there's a lot of noise this morning, but it's the voice or the noise behind that microphone that transmits to the airwave to your ear. He said, now that's the way it is in preaching the gospel. It's not we ourselves as ministers. We are not the gospel, but we're only transmitters that transmits the voice of God through our agency of men to the hearer. Amen. When you get up and you begin to sit and talk to somebody about the message, and you're saying what he said, I don't care if you're at a steakhouse or if you're out in your front yard or where you're at, if you're relaying that just the way that he said it and you believe it and it's down in your heart as a seed, then he said it's not just, it's not that you're the gospel, but you're a transmitter of the gospel.
Right.
Amen. That doesn't do it away with tapes. That doesn't take away books. We still need the books and the tapes.
Yes.
It's God's voice to you.
Amen.
That doesn't do away with your Bible. He said it's God's voice. Doesn't do away with God speaking through nature. Just because a minister can get up and preach, or just because God can come in some other way. I want to take all of God's voice. If he wants to speak to me out here in nature, you say, oh no. Brother Nathan, there's no voice of God today except the tape voice. There's no way you can get revelation outside of listening to a tape. Brother Branham would disagree with you. When he was out there in the woods and got revelation off of a cigarette pack. You can get revelation anywhere you look for God. If you can get revelation off of a cigarette pack, you can get revelation off of anything. It's what you're looking for. It's what you're looking at. Amen. David could hear him in the rustling of the mulberry bushes.
Amen.
Amen. God's voice to David. He says in Luke in 1963, he said, now God could have chose to preach the gospel by the sun, by the moon, by the stars, by the wind, or by nature. But he chose to preach the gospel, and that's where the voice of God will come from. And you can, listen, he gives us a very simple formula for people that get scared to death of any type of ministry. He says, and you can judge the voice according to the word it expresses. Then you can see what kind of a voice that you're listening to. If it's contrary to the word, don't listen to it. But if it is the word, then God is duty bound to back up that word.
Amen.
Back the word up and vindicate it and make it truth because he promised to do it.
Amen.
You could have been out there in the same woods as Brother Branham and saw the same cigarette pack as Brother Branham. And maybe you'd have thought, oh my, that reminds me when I used to smoke those old Marlboros or whatever you smoked, those Camels or whatever it was. And you begin to, your lips begin to start twitching and wanting a nicotine fix. And that would have been, that wouldn't have been the right voice to listen to.
Right, right.
Yet it's the same cigarette pack.
Yes.
And he looks at it, a smoking man's filter. And God begins to deal with him on a thinking man's filter. And then we can go back and get the revelation from that he brought because we still have it stored up today.
Right.
I know there's some that don't believe in playing them in the churches, but I see what it produces when we do it.
Amen.
We had a tape service a few Sunday nights ago that the Holy Spirit came. My dad said it was the best service he'd been in 20 years. I'm glad I played a tape that night. I'm glad the Holy Spirit moved the way that it did. I'm glad I was here and was a part of it.
Amen.
But we've had services where a minister brother's been up here and the Holy Spirit moved in a very similar way. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that I invited that minister, that I followed your leading and preached what was on my heart. Why? It's not about, if it's about a certain formula of something that we can take and we just come and we just say, well, we're just going to go through this ritual and we're going to do this. Brother so-and-so is going to get up and speak, or we're going to press play, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And it just becomes a ritual that we think that's the only way that God can move. Then you exclude the Holy Spirit from being able to lead and guide for what we have specifically need of in that service. Right. Some brothers say, well, God, you can't pull on a tape like you can a minister. No, but you can pull on your pastor that God will lay the right tape on his heart to play. Amen. It's hard getting hit from both sides, Brother Hoover. You ever been in an accident where two semi-trucks just come and crush you right in the middle? An Uncertain Sound, 1961. If the voice talking to you isn't scriptural, then don't listen to it. Is that all right this morning? If I get up here and say something contrary to the message and contrary to the Bible, don't listen to me. If we have a guest minister that gets up and says something absolutely contrary to what's in the tapes and what's in the Bible, don't listen to him. And if you miss it, then I'll probably bring it around and correct it at some point. Amen. I have a right to do that as a pastor. I'm not going to make a scene and embarrass a brother unless I think he's just totally off the wall and it's necessary. But if a brother gets up here and preaches something that's false, I'll come around and correct it at some point. Don't get scared. But I don't feel like any of the minister brothers that we've had has ever done that. I feel like what we've heard has been a blessing to us. As long as it's the Holy Spirit, it'll continue to be that. He's still able to lead and guide. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, 1962. He says, oh, listen to that still small voice and come to the word. The word. You say, I heard a voice tell me this. He said, if it's contrary to the word, it wasn't God's voice. God's voice comes to the word. Amen. Jesus said in St. John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. I had a brother send me a letter a few years ago, and he took a quote where Brother Branham had commended Brother Neville on keeping sheep's food before the people. And he circled that, and he said, only tapes to be played. He wrote it to the side of this quote. And I thought, well, goodness, here you are so upset at ministers because you think they add to and took away. And you did the very thing that you're so worked up about. Because Brother Bam didn't say only. He added that word. Right. The brother added that word to the side. Only. I thought you just did what Eve's interpreter did. Added a word or took away a word. Yes. Brother Bam says in the Church Age book, page 381, that is the reason for all the preaching and teaching. For it is the preaching and teaching of the word. For it is in the preaching and teaching of the word that the sheep hear the voice of God and follow him. Amen. Now you can rip that page out of your church age book, or you can go home and highlight it, or you can ignore it, but it's there. Amen. Revelation chapter 4, part 3, 1961. We need men of God, men who won't hold back. Now everybody can't be a preacher, but you got a voice. And if you can't preach the people a sermon, he said if you're a preacher, you're called to the pulpit to preach.
Amen.
I didn't say it, he said it. Amen. If you're not, you're still a preacher, but live the people a sermon.
Amen.
Listen to this closely, because I'm talking about you this morning. Let your sermon be lived, and it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them who reject it. So you mean your lived life, you going out here and maybe you couldn't preach to save your life. Maybe God never called you to that. Maybe God never called you to get up in church and testify. Maybe if you got up and sang a special, we'd have to dismiss early. Maybe God doesn't use you that way. But maybe you can go out on your job or on your school. And you may not be able, maybe you can't explain it real well. Maybe somebody asks you something about the serpent seed and you have to send them to me or Brother Layton or Brother Hoover or somebody to try to help them understand it. Maybe God didn't call you to explain those things and be able to try to teach and show people those things through the word. But you go out on a job and you live. And Brother Bram said there was a man one day that he came to church to get baptized, and his wife had been praying for him for years that he would get baptized. And the pastor said, "You know, what sermon was it that I preached? What song was it that the choir sang? Or what was it that moved you this way?" He said, "Pastor," he said, "as well as sermons as you've preached," he said, "it wasn't that." He said, "as good as songs as the choir has sang, it wasn't that." But he said, "there's this man down where I work." And he said, "I recognized something real in that man, and I wanted to get baptized." The effects of this man's life. He didn't get up and jump up and down and quote quotes to him like a machine gun and slap him around and tell him he was an idiot and a false something or a serpent seed. He just lived a life before the man. And Brother Bram said, "Let your sermon be lived, and it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them who reject it." There are many out here on your job and at your school and different places where you go into Walmart and Meijer. They may never hear a tape. They may never pick up a Bible. They may never recognize God in nature because they're so bound down by other things. They may never see a message preacher get up and preach an anointed sermon. But when they see that lived life walk by them, at the day of judgment, their attitude towards that life that was lived before them, Brother Bram said, that is God's voice that'll bring a reproach to them that reject it. Hear his voice in 1958. He says, "And no matter how bad the times may be, how much your church may teach against it, Jesus is still waiting to speak that still small voice to anybody that'll listen to him. He's still ready to do it if we just quiet ourselves." He says again, expectation in 1961. He says, "Now, if you can sit right where you are now and so consecrate yourself to God and expect God to do something, hear the voice of God whisper down in your heart. You don't have to wait for a prayer card tomorrow night. This is the time I'm going to heal you. That's all. It's settled. There'd be nothing be able to shake you from that." Amen. So you mean he still speaks to hearts? Maybe you're down in your prayer closet praying and he puts a burden on your heart to call somebody and check on them. And they say, "Oh, brother, you don't know what I was going through and how much I needed that encouragement." What was that? God's voice speaking to your heart. The only audible voice you might hear might be on the tapes or from some minister, but God still speaks to hearts.
Amen.
He says, "And what dost thou hear?" In 1959, "It ain't the clothes you wear or the eloquence you speak in with. It's this. It's something that's inside of you, that voice of God. That's what it is." The Uncertain Sound, 1960, said, "But when a man talks to God and has got the voice of God in him and the word of God in him." Now notice, he's not talking about himself. He's not talking about the ministry. He's not talking about nature or the Bible. He's talking about individuals. He said, "When a man talks to God and has got the voice of God in him and the word of God in him, if you abide in me," John 15, he says, "if you abide in me and my words in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done. See nothing uncertain, it shall be done. Believe from the heart," 1957. "And now watch, I've seen it work. And to think that if you'll, he's speaking to you. If you'll get into that contact with God, it becomes till it isn't your voice anymore. It's not your thoughts anymore. It becomes God's thoughts and God's voice. You are just a vine or just a branch. He's the vine. Yes. And if his spirit that goes in and energizes, as long as you can get yourself out of the way, he will fill it up. And then you can be a witness just like Noah's Ark was a witness, like Jesus was a witness of God. He becomes so full of God till him and God was one." You mean a brother or sister that's not even a pastor or a missionary, that maybe doesn't have one of the 9 spiritual gifts, that's not the prophet or the messenger, they can get so in tune with God till it becomes to where it's not their thoughts or their voice anymore, but it's God's voice working through them. It's God's thoughts working through them. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what the bride of Jesus Christ has been called to be.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, I can't remember the tape, I believe it's Spoken Word is the Original Seed, but I may have that wrong. I'm quoting it from memory, 1962. He said that God gave Adam a wife so that he could reproduce himself. And he said, that's why God has a bride in this age, so that he can reproduce himself. Amen. Little Messiahettes is what we're supposed to be. That doesn't make me Jesus or Brother Branham Jesus or anybody else Jesus, but what it makes us is an attribute of God to where he can still express himself through human instrumentality again. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, part 2 in 1964. Malachi 4 to be fulfilled is to restore back the faith that was once back there in the beginning. Restore it back to the royal seed of Abraham. It's a promise. It's exactly the promise. The royal seed to be revealed by the royal seed, which is the royal seed of Christ. Christ is the royal seed. And the seed is the Holy Spirit that's in the hearts of the people that believe in God, that hold his word, and God working through them carrying the same message. You mean you carry the same message? You mean it's not just the ministry or the nine spiritual gifts or the tapes? If you get a revelation of it down inside your heart, you are the message. The man said, oh my, he said, well, I'm looking for this great Welsh revival. The man said, you've arrived. And no doubt he looked around for a big cathedral or a big tent meeting or a big something taking place. He said, I don't see nothing. He said, you've arrived. I am the Welsh revival. You looking for a rapture? Brother Branham said, you are the rapture. The rapture's already in you. You have rapturing faith. We're just waiting for it to be quickened. And just as when you need healing and your faith builds to that point, when it comes time, if you've got it, it'll produce itself. And you'll take a rapture just as Enoch did. You don't have to work it up or try to produce it on your own. It's already laying inside of you because you've accepted the message down on the inside of your heart. And then when you go around, people are able to see the message expressed through your life. I hope you sisters don't just, let your hair grow just because you're afraid your husband would leave you or just because you're afraid I'd get up and preach on you. But I hope you let your hair grow because it's become a personal revelation to you that that's what the Word of God says. And because you love Jesus so much, you know what that is if you're doing it that way? It's the Word being produced through you. Some of you brothers that used to struggle with things and addictions and temptations and different things, and then you recognized it was contrary to the Word, and you became subject to what the Word of God said. Do you realize what that is? That's the Word of God being manifested in you. Now, if you're doing it in a legalistic way of, oh, I better do this or I'm going to go to hell, then it's not really a revelation. But when you do it because you love him so much that you want that to be produced through your life, that's the Word made manifest in you.
Amen.
Sirs, we would see Jesus in 1961. He says, I and my Father are one, not three. We are one. God is in him. God speaks through him. He's no more his own, but he's God's voice through human lips. Hallelujah. And every believer in him tonight is likewise possessed. So possessed, so completely given over, till his words become like the words of Christ. He speaks the word. He speaks and the word is made flesh. He speaks and the word is manifested.
Right.
Now, he didn't just say the pastor. He didn't just say the prophet. He said every believer that's in him,
yes.
He speaks and the word is manifested. The works that I shall do, you do also. These signs shall follow them that believe. I believe that as the bride of Jesus Christ, we've so cowered down to things and so belittled what God's potential for us is to be. We're not just called to come and sit in a church on a pew two services or three services a week, whether it's to hear a minister or to hear a tape or to sing the songs. You've been called to more than that. That's wonderful. That's part of it. But you've been called to more than a Sunday and a Wednesday relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been called for more than just, there were some brothers here yesterday that helped do some remodel work down in the basement and on the outside of the church and things. And I appreciate that. I appreciate them sacrificing their time to do that type of work. But it's more than just that. It's more than just paying your tithes. We believe in that. At least most of us do. We believe in these things. But it's more than just a ritualistic, well, I went and I did this for the church. And, I prayed for Brother Nathan. And I attended two services out of three this week. I'm sure doing good. And, oh, my, I did this and I did that. If you're not careful, it'll become works. And your relationship with Jesus Christ will revolve around, whether you feel like you're a Christian or not, will revolve around how many church services you attended that week and how many tapes you listened to that week and how many chapters you listened to that week. And one week you'll feel like a Christian and one week you won't feel like a Christian. It's got to be more than that.
Amen.
It's got to be more than a going through the motions. It's got to be more than just a legalistic going about of doing what the Word says. But it's got to become a life down on the inside to where it's no longer your thoughts. It's His thoughts. It's no longer your words. It's His words. And God using you in a way to where it's not just a Sunday, Wednesday relationship, but He can use you on Monday at your job. And He can use you on Tuesday at your school. And He can use you on Thursday to testify to your neighbor. And He can use you on Friday down at Walmart. And it becomes such a living word through you that it's God's voice to them that'll judge them in the end. That's what we just read that He said. Church Age Book, page 340. God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the Word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodist Church failed, God raised up others, and so has it gone through the years until in this last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. There's again a people in the land that'll be the final voice to the final age. Yes, sir. The church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride, for the voice of God will be in her. Amen. You mean it's not just up here on the platform? It's not just on the tape? It's not just in the Bible? He said the voice of God will be in her.
Amen.
It's not enough for you just to hear the voice of God. I don't care where it's coming from, whether it be on tape or in nature or through the scriptures or through some anointed minister. It's not just enough for you to hear the voice of God. We're supposed to become the voice of God.
Amen.
That's what he said about the bride in this last age. The voice of God will be in her. Again, page 341 of the Church Age book. Oh, God still has a voice for the people of the world. Even as he has given a voice to the bride, that voice is in the bride. Church Age book, page 365. Yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. What he says from God, the bride will say.
Amen.
The Spirit and the prophet and the bride will be saying the same thing.
Amen.
And what they will say will have already been said in the Word.
Amen.
He didn't come and preach us something that was contrary to this.
Right.
It dovetails perfectly with this. And if a minister gets up and says something that's contrary to this or contrary to the voice on the tapes, then the voice of God isn't speaking through him. But when a minister or a member of the bride of Jesus Christ can get up and they're saying the same thing that the Spirit sang and that the prophet said and that the Word said, then that's God's voice to you. I don't care if it's on from a pulpit or from a telephone or sitting at a Waffle House or wherever it is. When that Word begins to come, you think, oh my, that's just what I needed to hear. What that brother quoted, and you know, I was sitting there at the steakhouse, and I was sure, you know, I was thinking that, you know, maybe I'd do this and maybe I'd do that, and God just laid it on that brother's heart. He wasn't a minister or anything. Maybe he was a carpenter or an electrician or a plumber or something, and he said, you remember when Brother Branham said this? And I thought, oh, it just cut me to the core. It was just, it was what I needed to hear, but it stepped all over my toes and out showed me, amen. God still speaks through his bride.
Amen.
So where does that leave us this morning? If you really recognize these things this morning, does that make us better than the people that just lean on all ministry? Or the people that just lean on all tapes? Because we've got this revelation that God's voice speaks through many different ways, that he can speak through a light bulb to you to testify. Brother Branham sat there and talked about Thomas Edison and how that he tried and tried and tried. He got a revelation from a light bulb. He can speak to you from a caterpillar or from a ladybug or through any type of nature. He can speak to you through all kinds of different things. If you receive that revelation this morning, what is that? Does that make us better than somebody else?
No.
Does that mean we've got God loves us a little bit more than?
No.
The very theme of this entire message that many people have failed to see, and in all the stone throwing and name calling and things that's going on right now, if we could go back to see the very thing that he emphasized, it was in Adoption chapter 4, 1960. He said, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place.
Amen.
So if I feel like, oh my, I've got a better revelation than somebody else and I know more than they do and all that, That's not going to put me there. Perfect love is going to put me there.
Amen.
He said, for that's all there was there. No matter how many, how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you done, or whatever you done, that won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, lay aside everything else. Let me read it again. So whatever you do, lay aside everything else until you are just so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you.
Amen.
I want that kind of love this morning. I believe what he said. I don't want to just take a portion of it and say, this is what I believe and this is where I believe the voice comes through. I want to take all that he said. I want to take all that the Bible said. But if that puffs me up and makes me think I'm a little better or smarter than somebody else, God forgive me. Woe is me if that's what that produces. If revelation in your life produces a know-it-all attitude and you think, oh my, I've got so much revelation, I know it better than everybody and I can quote it better than everybody, what good is your revelation doing? Revelation shouldn't make us feel higher than somebody. It should humble us and say, oh, Lord, I didn't deserve to know these things. I didn't deserve to see these things in this age. But your grace is what did it. I don't care how much you studied, how much you read, how much you listened, how much you works you did, and how many widows you've helped. That's not going to put you in. But it's God's grace that brought us this far. God's grace that'll take us on. There's a lot going on around the message right now. But I want to keep my eyes on Jesus, and on his word. I don't want to get caught up in the banner and the name calling and the stone throwing. And I don't want to spend all my time focused on those things. And as I said Wednesday night, if some of those things upset you and disturb you and raises your blood pressure, I can think of an easy way. Just stop listening to all that. And if you go and you listen to one brother and you think, oh my, I believe just like him. And he sure socked it to him. And he told him who they were and what they were. And you better watch the attitude that you're getting.
Amen.
Because if it's not producing perfect love, then you better be careful.
Amen.
You say, oh my, he just blasted that other side and he stands just where I stand and I believe this just the way that he believes it and all that. That's all right. But you better watch your attitude.
Amen.
You better watch your spirit. Make sure it's his spirit. Amen. And that you didn't just get caught up in some other man's spirit and think, oh my, well, he's going to do it this way, so that's the way I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it the way he leads me to do it. God bless you this morning. If the musicians would come. The voice of God. I believe it's on the tapes. I believe it's in the Bible. I believe it's in nature. I believe it can be used through the gifts, through the ministry. In your heart is that still small voice. And through the bride. He said that voice is still in her. Amen. What a blessed people that we are. To recognize that God would love you enough that he would borrow you for a little while to speak through you. Maybe it's not even your words. Maybe it's just the way you presented yourself down at Meijer or down at the gas station. Somebody saw that and thought, oh my, you know, I never see sisters with long hair and skirts like that anymore. There must be something real about that person. Your life can be a voice. In fact, Brother Bram said it in one place. He said, oh, how we need in Jeffersonville thousands of lived voices. He said, that's the thunder that shakes the enemy. Amen. You want to shake up the devil and get him worked up? Amen. You don't have to jump up and down and scream and holler and quote it to him till you're blue in the face. You live what the prophet said.
Amen.
That'll shake the devil up more than anything I know. Amen. Let's sing this morning. This is number 92 in your hymn book. Oh, when the coal of fire had touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. Oh, when the voice of God said, who go for us? Then he answered, here am I, send me. Oh, speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Oh, speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. shame or dying. Just listen to their sad and bitter cry. Just hasten, brother, hasten to their rescue. Oh, quickly answer, here am I, send me. Oh, speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me. As they play that softly this morning, how many just bow your heads, close your eyes a moment? How many slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I want to hear God's voice wherever it comes from. However he can speak to me, however he can use me, whatever he has for me, whatever it be, I want to hear his voice in this age speaking to me. Amen. God sees each hand. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to hear your voice. Lord, not the voice of a creed or the voice of a dogma, not the voice of some man-made legalism or something that's been added to or taken from. But Lord, we want to hear your voice. Lord, whether you're speaking through the tapes or whether you're speaking to us in nature, when we open up our Bibles and begin to read it, Lord, of a morning, Lord, we want you to speak to us. Lord, we want you to speak to us through other members of the bride, through your ministry, through your gifts, through the life that some maybe humble housewife is living, Lord, through childlike faith of a little child that would come up for prayer, Lord. May you just speak to us. May everywhere we look, may we be able to see you and hear you. Lord, may we check it, Father, to make sure that what we're hearing is a scriptural voice, that it's your voice, Father. Lord, we want you to speak to us. We want you to lead us and to guide us what to do, where to go. Lord, the decisions in our life, we need to hear from you, Father. Lord, may we recognize your voice when it's speaking to us, whatever form it would come. We love you this morning, Father. Lord, we don't want to discount any portion of your voice. We don't want to take away from any portion, Lord, but we want to accept, Lord, however you would speak to us. We love you this morning, Father. Lord, maybe you're speaking to hearts this morning. Or maybe there's some that won't understand. Maybe there's some that'll disagree. That's all right, Father. They have that right. Lord, but I just want to make sure my attitude is right, Father, that you keep my spirit right. Lord, that we can have that perfect love. Lord, whether a brother would agree or disagree, no matter what they would say or do, Father, help us to keep that perfect love before us. We love you this morning, Jesus. May your love be manifested through us. May your life be manifested through us. May we be written epistles read of all men. May we live a life, Father, that others could see that you're still alive today because you're still changing lives. Jesus Christ's name. Oh, I need more of you, dear Savior. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, I need more of you till there's no room left. Wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more of you, Lord, I need more of you, Father, I need more of you in me. Let's stand and sing it this morning. I need more of you. Fill me with nothing less. Fill me with nothing less. Oh, I need more of you. Give me your love. Give me your love. And the world can have the rest. Oh, desire this morning. Lord, I've got to have more of you in me. Oh, I need more of you. That's the way it's got to be. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Till there's no room left in me. Lord, all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Father, I need more of you. I've got ask Brother Hoover if he'd come and lead us in a couple songs before we close, but just want to remind you, communion, foot washing tonight, service at 6:30. We'll be having a prayer meeting before that, just to pray and spend some time with the Lord for a while, and then enter into communion and feet washing. Amen. Come prayed up and expecting, and just appreciate the communion services, just the presence of the Lord. May not just be another communion service, just another going through the motions, but may we do it in remembrance of what he did for us. Amen. I don't know where I'd be without him. I couldn't go on without him. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. God bless you this morning, Brother Hoover.
Aren't you thankful God still speaks?
Amen.
That we can hear his voice.
God still is he moving in your heart now? Let him have his way. God still moves in the heart of his children. God still moves. Let that word that you heard this morning take effect now. He does not slumber, no. Does he sleep? God still moves. My God still moves. Oh, God still moves. God still moves. No, the Holy Spirit may not be done. I understand Brother Nathan's finished with the ministry. But Brother Branham said the preaching of the word drives away those evil spirits, those demon forces. The word has come forth this morning with power and unction of the Holy Spirit. Now let him move in your heart. Let him settle that word down in your heart. Perhaps there's something, Lord, this morning that Brother Nathan spoke and it struck you. Maybe it's made you say, ouch, like it did me a few times. Just let God move in your heart and take that. Let him just seal off that soul of yours so that that spirit can't come back and try to take up its abode. But just be free this morning in the Holy Spirit and let the word have its perfect way in your heart and your life. Let the spirit just settle down inside of you. Make sure that this word that came forth this morning doesn't return void, but it accomplishes what it came forth for. You may be sitting there saying, well, so-and-so wasn't here. Sister so-and-so didn't hear it. Brother so-and-so didn't hear it. The people that needed to hear it heard what the Lord said this morning. God still moves. Move in me, Lord Jesus. God still moves in the hearts of... Oh, let's just worship him this morning for his word. Let's worship him for what he spoke to us this morning. What he's done in our heart and our life. Slumber. Nor does he sleep. God still moves. I don't want him just to move upon my flesh. I don't want him just to touch my spirit, but I want him to go down into that soul and move down there. God still moves. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God still moves. Oh, his presence is here. He's real this morning. The hearts of his children, God still moves. He does not slumber.